By God's help, we're going to talk about friends tonight. Would you join us as we ask God's blessings to be with us? We need Him. And so, ask you to join us. Gracious Father, thank you for the blessings that we have received here in La Ronge, Louisiana. And here we are down to the last service. When the amen is said tonight, this meeting will be history. A matter of minutes away, it'll be over. We're thankful that we have a friend tonight that will be with us after this meeting. We ask you, Lord, that you'll bless those that brave the cold weather, tired bodies, to be in this service tonight. May they be rewarded for their efforts that have been put forth to be here. May the Holy Spirit back it up, this message, that it will be profitable. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name, amen. A friend is one that you can share things with, thoughts and your feelings. And a friend is, a true friend is someone that can see and know about your faults, and yet they still love you and care. Wouldn't it be something to go through life without a true earthly friend? I have one, and her name is Sister Nelda Sorrell. She's a precious person. She lives in a greatly handicapped body. If you were to put her out here in the center of the aisle, she would not be able to step over to her seat, a seat. We don't see each other real frequently, but we do communicate. And sometime we've laughed together. Something was amusing, or we had laughed. And I think that I've had tears. I don't know that she ever did, but at any rate, she has befriended me. I don't have a computer. She does, and she's very efficient. And at times I've called on her for information, and one time, just fairly recent, I was riding back from California with Brother and Sister Busby, and the indicator on the dash indicated we had low air in a tire. Well, Sister Sylvia was driving, and I don't know how many miles she went, and it started making a noise, the tire did. Well, we was able to exit off of the Interstate 40, and it was one of those exits where it's on a slope. It's not, wasn't just a flat even. So here we was. She was able to manage to get far enough off of the exit where the traffic could get by. But here we was in that situation. And they didn't have roadside assistance. it was quite a situation, and Brother Busby wanted to have prayer, and he got on the phone trying to get somebody, but we was in Clinton, Oklahoma, and his efforts, well, I had a cell phone, and I called 911. Talked to the 911 operator and tried to tell her the location where we was and explain our situation. And hung up, and she called back, and she was getting the highway patrol for us. So after a while, the highway patrol man showed up, and he come to our rescue. He was a big help. Well, there was no place in Clinton, Oklahoma at that hour that we were there that had availability of a different tire. So we were going to be stranded for the night, and I have a membership in Choice Motels, and I was trying to contact the reservation number and could not get them. It come to my mind, Sister Nelda. Called her. She was able to get the information of the telephone number of the local motel. And different ways. Oh, she sent me birthday cards, and I've never sent her one. And she's a friend. A real friend. And you know what else she does? Different times, when she knows what's ahead of me, she says, we'll be praying for you. That's something, to have a friend that will pray for you, isn't it? A friend. Jonathan and David perhaps had one of the most outstanding friendships of all times. Jonathan was the son of Saul, and Saul hated David. He was jealous of him, and he hunted him like an animal, made life so miserable for David, and on more than one occasion he tried to take his life, and one time Jonathan intervened and pled for David's life. There was a bond and a kindred spirit that bound them together in a friendship that was rare. And Jonathan was in battle, and he got killed. And it had a profound effect on David. He was just emotionally distraught and lamented this friend of his that was life was taken out at a premature age, and it was a difficult time for David, and he really felt keenly the loss of this beloved friend. But he still had even a better friend, and he wrote about him and called him his shepherd. In the 23rd Psalm, first verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, thy comfort me. They comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Gives him what his friend does for him. He restored his soul. And he led him. And Jonathan wasn't with him anymore. But this friend was going to be able to walk with him through the valley of the shadow of death and take the fear out of death. It says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. This friend was with David in a way that Jonathan wasn't ever. There have been other close relationships, Elijah and Elisha were very close, and perhaps Elisha admired and respected, seeing God work miracles in Elijah's behalf. I don't know if he was there when the fire was called down from heaven and the sacrifice consumed. I don't know how long the mentoring took place, but there was a close bond between them that had developed, and it probably didn't happen overnight, but there was a kindred there and a bond that was very close. And it come to the time when God was going to take Elijah, and this was probably something that Elisha had some emotional feelings there. And he knew the time was close, and Elijah would try to get him to not follow him. It tells about this in Kings, about how they were going different places together, and they were probably side by side, and Elisha wouldn't let Elijah out of his sight. And he come real close to the time there that this was going to take place. And in the 9th verse of the 2nd chapter, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I am taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of my spirit, of thy spirit, be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his clothes and rent them into pieces. Now, if you get the picture of what Elisha was feeling when he was able to look up and see, and probably he wanted to rivet his eyes right upon him. That's where the blessing was going to come. And watched him so closely. And what he thought perhaps in his mind was that he wasn't going to have this stability right at hand to be with him. And his emotions just overwhelmed him. And he said, "My Father, my Father." He was just like a father to Elijah. And it was so profoundly affecting him that he just took and rent his clothes into pieces. That was a closeness, a bond that was strong and solid to death. A close bond, a human bond. Well, there's been Ruth and Naomi that was mentioned in this meeting about how, about Ruth and Naomi. There was a closeness there. There's been probably some things said about mother-in-laws that hasn't always been complimentary to mother-in-laws. And sometimes probably they do get out of their place. But at any rate, Ruth loved her mother-in-law. And she had seen that Naomi was a woman of God. And so she was so impressed with her life that she was willing to give up her homeland, her future in her homeland, and follow her. And she made the statements that where you go, I'm going to go too. Where you lodge, I'll lodge. Where you die, I'll die. And Naomi probably preceded Ruth in death. But Ruth probably kept her word. And she was there when Naomi passed on. And she probably stood by her word that where she died, she was going to be that way also. So, another strong tie. There is human ties and friends that go deep into the emotions of human beings. But there's a friend that has a higher level of care for me tonight than Sister Nelda Sorrell. Or your best friend, whether it's your sister, your brother, mother, father, whoever. There are strong brother and sister ties. Brother Veda had a brother, Austin McMillan, and he loved his brother. And when Brother Austin and his wife were going to renew their vows at their 50th anniversary celebration, Brother Veda was called on to be the one to renew the vows. Well, Brother Veda outlived Brother Austin some years, but Brother Veda still had a good friend like David did, and that friend saw Brother Veda all the way through some heavy, difficult times in his older years and saw him safely through the valley of the shadow of death. So, this friend, strong family ties, strong blood ties. But this friend that is spoke about in Proverbs says that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs 18 and 24. A man that hath friends must shew himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There's no human blood ties that is as strong as this friend's care and love for you and I. He cares so much, the invitation was given in Peter, cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. That's an awesome invitation. To be able just to come and unload all your cares on Jesus. There are levels of care. There are the care that a husband would have for his wife and children that would cause him to go to work when he's sick. That's a care. That's a good level of care. There's a care that a pastor would have for a congregation. That he would sacrifice sleep. That he would love the congregation more than himself. And that he would bear burdens of those who are heavily burdened. That is a great care. If you have that kind of pastor, appreciate him. The care for the flock. For those who don't show spiritual life like he would like to see it. For those that's on background. The care that a pastor has can run very deep. But that care is still not up to the level that this friend that sticketh closest to her than a brother. That surpasses. That goes beyond human care. The one that cares the most of you, about you in life hasn't died for you. And Jesus did. He showed his care so much that he was willing to give his life. Sing the song 448. Think about this friend that loved mankind enough to suffer what he did and to go through what he did to be our friend. This is a description of what Jesus went through. Despised, rejected. Yes, Lord. Think of Calvary, our friend. Even the glory. St. John 15 and 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I have here some words that a doctor has given about how things happened in his description of what Christ went through. It says, during Jesus' trial and humiliation, we also know a crown of thorns was platted and placed on his head. In Christ's case, this was done to mock him as being king of the Jews. Some of you have been to Israel and have seen these thorns. They're about an inch and a half to 2 inches long. And they as sharp as an ice pick. The custom was to take a small 3 or 4 foot long reed and slap the thorns on top of the head of the victim in order to drive the thorns into the skull. Those thorns laid upon someone's head and then tapped down with a reed were hard enough to penetrate the outer table of the outer bone of the skull. Imagine the bleeding from 300 or 400 puncture wounds in the scalp and around the forehead from these thorns. Before Jesus' crucifixion ever began, his face has been beaten to a pulp. The scripture says his visage was marred. He didn't look like Jesus. No doubt his eyes were swollen shut. His nose is bloodied. And I remind you that every pore in his skin has wept and oozed blood. I'm confident every visible surface on the good Lord Jesus, I am confident was covered and caked with dried blood. And his back and arms and the backs of his legs were literally torn to shreds from the scourging. This was the shape Jesus was in before they ever gave him his cross to bear out to Calvary. And so, that should prove something, that he was willing to lay down his life and shed his blood for his friends. No greater love hath a man than he laid down his life for his friends. I have a story here. Hope the children would enjoy. Sometimes messages is over their heads, but maybe they can enjoy this story. The title of it's Kick for Christ. An evangelist said a little girl of 8 years was sent on an errand by her parents. While on her way, she was attracted by the singing of a gospel meeting in the open air and drew near. The conductor of the meeting was so struck with the child's earnestness that he spoke to her and told her about Jesus. She, being the child of a Roman Catholic, did not know much about him, but the gentleman told her of his love to her. On returning home, her father asked her what had detained her. She told him, and he cruelly beat her, forbidding her to go to any such meeting again. About a fortnight after, she was so taken up with what she had previously heard of Jesus that she forgot about her message. She saw the same gentleman who again told her more about the Savior. On her return home, she again told her father, as before, where she had been and that she had not brought what she had been sent for, but that she had brought Jesus. Her father was enraged and kicked the poor little creature until the blood came. She never recovered from this brutal treatment. Just before breathing her last, she called her mother and said, "Mother, I've been praying to Jesus to save you and Father." Then, pointing to her little dress, she said, "Mother, cut me a bit of the blood-stained piece of my dress." The mother, wondering, did so. "Now," said the dying child, "Christ shed his blood for my sake, and I'm going to take this to Jesus to show him that I have shed my blood for his sake." Thus she died, holding firmly the piece of her dress stained with her own blood. The testimony of that dear child was the means of leading both father and mother to Christ. And so, you children here tonight, Jesus is your friend. He shed his blood for you. May you realize as a child that Jesus is your friend. And may that be a help to you in your maturing age, and may it be a blessing to you all your life. I am thankful that Jesus is my friend. And I hear some time ago went shopping for my tombstone. And this place where I went to buy the tombstone, they had a display and different sizes and different prices, and I think I got the smallest one there and probably the cheapest one. But in the office, the lady had a computer, and she was able to show what it should look like. And it's just not a very big one, but it's got my, there's some roses up here, or flower something. And it's got my name, and my date of birth, the year I was born. And there was some space below here. And what is on my tombstone is Jesus was my friend. I think I told him that was Jesus was her friend, but then ended up Jesus was my friend. So he has been my friend. A good one. And if I could say something good about him that would cause people to realize and be aware that he's your friend and that he loves you and that whatever you face in life, and just recently a sister was talking with me and expressing some hard things she had been through in life. But she also mentioned Jesus as a friend. So, may God bless us to appreciate this wonderful friend that we have. He has a level of care that supersedes any human care. It goes beyond what humans care for one another, and there are some deep, deep caring people, one for another, mothers that would risk their lives and give their life probably for a child, but still Jesus is a better friend than mother. And you won't always have mother, you won't always have dad. David didn't always have Jonathan. But he still said, the Lord is my shepherd. So he still had a good friend. May God bless you that as your life unfolds, that you will recognize and see that Jesus is your friend and has been your friend. As one man was looking back, or woman, whoever wrote the song, said, when I look o'er the past, I behold how his wide arms of mercy held me. The brother that was testifying about burning up, and if he'd went a number of more miles, what could have happened? That's care, isn't it? And so, may God help us to be aware of the things that Jesus does as our friend for us. Our Father, tonight, we thank you that you have given us a wonderful friend in Jesus. And he's the friend of children. He loves the little children. Said, forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. He loves the teenagers, wants to be a friend to them. And we're thankful that when we're senior citizens, he's still our friend. Help us to be your friend. Like the little girl that fell so in love with Jesus as her life was ebbing out of her little body, thought of the blood that was shed for her. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you will help us to have a precious relationship with you. If we could only convince people that living for you is the best way to live, to be saved and live for Jesus is the best route in life. And so we ask, Lord, tonight that you'll bless these thoughts. And maybe in the future something will come back from this message to be a blessing to someone tonight. And as this meeting is drawing real close to the ending, after this meeting is over in history, we want you to be our friend, Lord. We don't know what's out there ahead of us. We don't know from day to day. But we want to know that Thou art with us. We ask, Lord Jesus, these blessings in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to ask that we sing a medley of 78, 103, and 179.